Good morning to everyone on this another day that our Lord has made. We give glory and honor to his great name. God alone is worthy to be praised. And in this hour, we not only come together and study, but we also come together in worship. Everything we do should be an act of worship. Even as I was preparing for class, I was praying that the Lord would receive even my preparation as an act of worship unto him. I am glad to see each one of you on this October the 25th in the year 2020. And I am here in Omaha, Nebraska. I see other states with us. Not sure if overseas is with us yet or not, but I'm glad to see each one of you. Hope you had a good week. I know that some of you, well, all of us are going through something. But we want to extend again our condolences to Deacon Young and his family and Sister Sharon. And also, we know that Sister Ann Christian and Deacon Carl Christian had a death in their family. But since we last met, Sister Arlene Johnson, and I'm not sure if Arlene is, yeah, there's Arlene. Sister Arlene Johnson's mother passed this past week. So we offer our condolences to Sister Arlene, as well as the other families. If there's ever a death or anything significant that you think I should know about, please email me and I will acknowledge it. So we offer to you, Sister Arlene, our condolences. We'll be praying for you and your family. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We offer unto you praise and glory. We thank you for the purpose for which we come. We come with our Bibles open, Lord, but it's more than a Bible. This is your word to us, your word to man. And because this is your word, Lord God, you and you alone know what it says because you're the author. And so we ask you now, by your Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask you to give us an ear to hear, give us a spirit to receive, Lord, and then give us a mind and a heart to want to believe and then to also obey. We praise you, God, the three in one, and we stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of your word. We thank you for being with us on last week, for keeping us in your care, for being with us every step of the way. We thank you now that we can meet again at this place, Lord, at this Zoom class, contemporary Bible class. We gather in the name of Jesus. We ask you now to give comfort to those who are in sorrow. We ask you to comfort them, and may they be keenly aware of your love, of your care, and of your grace. Comfort them now in this hour of sorrow. We thank you, Lord God, for hope that is in Jesus. We thank you for Jesus who has overcome death, hell, and the grave. And because he lives, we too do live, and we too shall live. We ask you now to anoint me, Lord, to teach your word. I'm a vessel. I yield myself to you. Use me in thy service. I offer this prayer to you. We offer this prayer to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing this morning in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. And one way or another, it is my goal today to complete this passage. We can never say it all, can't say all that is to be said in God's word. But I do want to keep moving through the gospel according to Luke. Luke is a pretty big book. Luke is the biggest of the four gospels. So today, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. And I have mentioned before, I think I mentioned it last week, that God himself is manyfold, many-faceted to God. His word is manyfold. And there's a scripture that uses that verse, the manifold wisdom of God. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. God's word is manifold, multifaceted, multi-layered, and there are many aspects. It's like looking at a diamond, and when you look at a diamond, a good diamond, when you look at a diamond, probably any diamond, but some more so than others, the more you look at it, is many facets, is many facets and glories in that diamond. And God is even more glorious, of course, than the diamond. But that is an illustration of the manifold, multi-layered God and his word. Now, I say that to say this passage that we're looking in, as well as all the word of God, but Luke chapter 10, if we were to have a symposium or a gathering of 10 preachers, pastors, teachers, expositors of God's word, and we got 10 people together, all of them to speak on this passage or any passage of the word of God, you would hear 10 different things. None of them would be the same. However, there would be a common thread, but it could be presented in many ways. And so it is, as I'm teaching God's word, I want you to know, with the limited time that we have, I'm presenting it as the way that God has given it to me to present to you. But that does not mean there's not more to it. And I want to say that because you may hear another pastor, preacher, or someone talking about the same passage, and they may bring it from a totally different angle. Well, it's not that I'm wrong and they're right, or they're right and I'm wrong. It is that God's word is multi-layered. Now, having said that, in this passage that we've been looking at, Luke chapter 10, I presented this passage last week. I want to say welcome to everyone. If we have anyone new with us, we are glad that you are here. I welcome you on behalf of the Contemporary Bible Class of Salem Baptist Church. We welcome you. Glad that you are here. In Luke chapter 10, on last week, we were looking at verses 1 and 2, in particular, verse 2, where it says, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And we talked about this passage. We studied it on last week. And I've taught it, I presented it as the harvest representing the souls that are ready to be saved. And that is indeed true. There is a harvest of people that are ripe. The seed of the word of God has been planted. The seed has been watered. And it's harvest time. They're ripe for receiving the gospel, receiving, believing, repenting, and believing. And then going on to be baptized and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how I taught this class, this lesson on last week. The harvest representing souls ready to be saved. However, as I was thinking on it, and it's like, you know, I'm praying as all the time. I'm praying, Lord, lead me in the teaching. Help me, keep me from error. Lead me, Lord, and guide me. Well, it's as if the Lord wanted me, and that's part of why I'm spending time saying this, because there's actually two crops in this passage. Now, I was talking about that crop of people that are ready to be saved, but the Bible, everything's in the Bible, and it is a math book as well. You will find in the Bible addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. And all of them are in this very passage in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. And we talked about, I didn't use the word, but addition last week. And addition was Jesus added 70 also. And that's in verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. That's addition. And then it goes on talking, and he told them the harvest truly is great. But then he told them in verse 3 to go, and go with the ultimate purpose to add on even more, someone else to be saved. And then that person, once they are saved, they are to go forth too. Because one of the first commandment to man back in Genesis was to multiply. We were to be fruitful and multiply. First command to man from God. I believe it's the first. Be fruitful and multiply. Well, that's true in the physical, natural realm, but it's also true in the spiritual realm. God wants us to be fruitful through him and multiply, bring forth souls into the kingdom. But this passage of scripture, and we're going to read it in a moment here, it also has subtraction in it. There's going to be subtraction, but the main aspect of math that I want to concentrate on today is division. There is going to be a division. We see in verse four, Jesus gives them instruction. And then in verse 5, he tells them, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. But they were supposed to say, the 70 were supposed to say, whatever house they entered in, they were supposed to say peace to this house. And then depending on who was in the house, they would either be received or rejected. In verses 6 through 9 is the group that would receive the servants of God, the messengers of God. In verses 10 through 15 is the group that would reject. Now, the harvest, there are many aspects to this harvest, but I do want to look at, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, because I want to bring out this other huge aspect of the harvest, and to see ultimately there will be two crops. There are two crops, and both of the crops are to be harvested. So when we look at Matthew 13, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and in Matthew 13 are the parables, the start of the Kingdom of Heaven parables. So let's turn to Matthew 13, and we're going to start at verse 24. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. And it says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now this man sowed good seed in his field. So we have this field, and the field, he sowed good seed in his field. And then it says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So you see, there's two crops. There's one field, which is the world, but there are two crops. There are tares, and then there are wheat. There's the wheat, but then there's also the tares. And they are together in the field. And so you can read that parable. I encourage you to read that parable in its entirety on your own. But let's look at verse 30. Verse 30 says, let both grow together. Now, the both is that in Luke chapter 10, there will be the rejectors, tares, and there will be the receivers, wheat. Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 30 says, let both grow together. When? How long? Until the harvest. Now, this is a harvest that will happen at the end of the age. This is another aspect of the harvest. Now, there's a harvest that begins at the end, that will happen at the end of the age. But it's also harvest time now. Souls being saved are souls that are being harvested. And in this great harvest, Jesus is the first fruit. And the last conference that I had, the God's Word Alive conference, talking about Jesus, the first fruit, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus is the first fruit. He is the first one. And up come from him as the first fruit, we come forth as the wheat. Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 30 says, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So those are the two crops, the tares, which will be ultimately burned, and then there is the wheat. Now, Jesus himself gives the interpretation of this parable, and it is found in Matthew 13, same chapter, verse 36. And verse 36 says, Verse 37, he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. Verse 43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. So Luke chapter 10, there is a coming together, but there is division, dividing into two. All of these people. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. Let's stop right there for a moment. And so we see Jesus has appointed 70 others. We've talked about that on previous weeks. He is commissioning them. He is going to send them forth in pairs, two by two. They were to go into every city and place where Jesus himself would be coming. We know that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he sends these forerunners, as it were. He sends these messengers to tell the people Jesus is coming, to prepare the people of the city for the coming of the Lord, for Jesus to be coming through that city. So Jesus sends these messengers ahead of him, not for their own sake, but to prepare the way of the Lord. But then he gives them an assessment of the situation. He lets them know the harvest is great. There are many that are to be harvested. They are ripe, ready for harvest, ready for salvation. And so the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There are not many laborers. There's very few laborers. But he tells them to pray. In spite of the harvest being great and the laborers being few, Jesus told them to pray, and he gave them the specific prayer to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers into the harvest. Then he tells them to go. Now, this is the commission. He's commissioning them, but he always gives instruction. He tells them to go. In spite of it being few workers, somebody has to work. Somebody has to go get the harvest. Get as many as you can. The harvest is ripe. Verse 3, go your way. And then he lets them know there is danger. This is a dangerous mission, but they will be successful because they're going on Jesus's word. They're going in his name. They're going in his authority and in his power. They are going out on his word. But he lets them know that does not mean it's going to be easy. I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. And this is a, by the way, many have died going forth. There are many Christians suffering today. Many will be killed because of their faith, trying to share the word of God and sharing the word of God and being persecuted even unto death. Some will even die. But in spite of that, Jesus tells them to go. I'm sending you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, for that group that was martyred, they were martyred and are being martyred and are being persecuted for doing the work of God. They are successful. So here Jesus is letting, now these 70, they will return. They all will return. But I needed to say that there are many being persecuted because of the work of Christ. So he sends them out as lambs among wolves. He tells them, don't get bogged down with earthly things. Don't carry money bag because you're not going to be going shopping. I'm going to provide all your needs. So you don't need to bring along a money bag, a knapsack, or sandals. Just go. Don't get weighed down with earthly things. And he's also teaching them to trust in God, to trust in him to provide everything that they will need. And then he tells them, don't greet no one along the road, because they're on their way to the cities, on their way to the different cities and places where Jesus would be coming. And he's telling them, don't greet no one along the road. Now, that may seem rude and that may seem harsh. Well, really what it's saying is keep your eye focused on what God has given them to do, on what he had given them to do. They had to be focused. The harvest is ripe. It's time to get the harvest. If you delay, and just think about this, if you meet someone along the road, like we're going to say, hey, how you doing? And you're going to say, I'm doing fine. Well, how's the family? Then you got to talk about the family. Well, what are you doing now? And then you got to tell them, well, I'm retired. Well, where did you retire from? And how long did you work? And now you were wasting time. And there are souls to be harvested. So don't greet anyone along the way. It's not a matter of rudeness. It's a matter of the importance, the seriousness, the urgency of the mission. There are souls to be saved. Don't get distracted with idle chatter. Greet no one along the road. And then he tells them, once they get into the city or the place, whatever house you enter, you are to say first, peace to this house. And so they're coming in the name of Jesus, bringing forth peace. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's what the angel said on the night that Christ was born. And so they are coming with a greeting from the Lord, peace to this house. Now they've made it to the city or to the place. They are to find a place where they are to, because they're going to need a place to stay. And so they say, peace to this house. And verse 6 says, if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And so there would be someone that would welcome them, and then there would be somehow someone that would reject them. Well, when they found that house of peace, when they found the place that received their blessing, let me read verse 6 again. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain. When you find that house that they receive you, that's your cue. And they were not to go forth looking for the best house, the biggest house, the finest house, the house located in a certain part of town. They were just supposed to go to a house that would receive them. And it says, and remain in that same house, remain there. So that was going to be their lodging place, their headquarters. Now, they would not, as far as I understand, stay there 24 hours a day. They had work to do in the city, but they had to come back in the evening time or whenever as a place of lodging. And so it says in verse 7, remain in the same house. And this is where the place where they would eat, and their needs would be provided for, eating and drinking, such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. And so when they found that house that welcomed them, they were to eat and they were to drink and they were not to feel guilty about it. They were not to try to pay for it because they didn't have the money to pay for it anyway. God is providing for them through this household, through this family that received them. Now he tells them, eat and drink such things as they give. In other words, don't come with your "I only like green M&Ms." You're supposed to come and eat whatever it is they give you. Well, you can't say, "Well, I don't eat chicken." If they give you chicken, eat the chicken, or whatever it may be. Eat and drink such things as they give. And it could even be that it would be someone that would be feeding them something that, according to their laws, they would say, "I can't eat this." But Jesus said, "No, you eat and drink such things as they give. Be hospitable. They are being hospitable to you. You be hospitable towards them. Don't snob. Don't be snobbish, and don't say, "Oh, I don't want that." And then he lets them know you're worthy of this because you are laboring. They were laboring. They were going forth doing whatever they had to do, sharing the message of the kingdom. And it says in verse 7, the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Don't be looking for a bigger house, a better house, a house where the room is where you think it should be. Stay right there. Stay settled right there in that house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. He says it again because sometimes we can be picky about what we eat. And so he's letting them know, don't be picky, eat whatever they set before you. Now you have spiritual work to do. Heal the sick there in that house, but also in that place where they were. Heal the sick there, and then say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Because they're going forth in the name of Jesus. Jesus is on the way. The kingdom of God is near to you and all the kingdom blessings. Because they were receptive to the messenger of God, to the message of God, and also to the Christ who is on his way. Now we're going to see, let's go on. I'm going kind of fast because I want to complete this passage today, Lord willing. Now we go to the next verse, verse 10. And here we're going to spend most of the remainder of our time on this aspect of it, the rejectors. And so there are going to be rejectors. As a matter of fact, when you look at it, Jesus spends more time preparing them for people and cities that will reject them. He is preparing them for rejection. Because keep in mind, let's go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 22, key scripture. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. But he says in Luke 9, verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Now, Jesus is prophesying here, and the prophecies immediately will start coming to pass. They will culminate at Calvary. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Now we're going to look at the rejection begins. The rejection begins. So let's go back to Luke chapter 10 and the stamp on this passage from verse 11, from verse 10 all the way through verse 15 is rejection. It is rejection. The rejection of the message, the rejection of the messenger, the rejection of the Christ. Now, most of us have heard Isaiah 53, very key passage of scripture. Well, all of God's word is key. But Isaiah 53, very common passage. It is a prophecy that has been, a portion of it has been fulfilled. Another aspect of it, it is yet to be fulfilled. Another aspect, which we'll talk about another day, another time. But in Isaiah 53, it says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we're going to see now in Luke chapter 10, the rejection now of the Christ. Now, when you think about it, Jesus has already experienced a lot of rejection already. Let's look at it quickly. Well, it starts out, and this is not in Luke's gospel, but we know that there was no room in the inn. And that could be a measure of rejection, depending on how you look at it. But I'm going to take it today as even that is rejection. There was no room for him, for them in the inn. No room in the inn for Jesus. So rejection starts immediately. And then we know about Herod and all of that. But let's look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus in his public ministry, the commencing of his public ministry is in Luke chapter 4. But from the very beginning of it, he was rejected. And the rejection will continue all throughout his ministry. Because we've seen the multitudes all around Jesus and the healings and all these exciting things. But if you were to put a stamp on it all, we're going to find out today through all of that, Jesus was rejected. He came unto his own and his own received him not. And so Luke 10 is going to tell us that. But let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, let's look at verse 28. And we have studied this because we started at Luke chapter 1, making our way through the gospel according to Luke. Well, Luke chapter 4, and Jesus announces his public ministry in verse 18. In verse 18, he gives his mission statement, and then Jesus goes on. He's in the synagogue in his hometown, Nazareth. In his hometown, Nazareth, in the synagogue, preaching and proclaiming the word of God and announcing himself and introducing himself and his mission to the people. But then it says in verse 28, Luke chapter 4, verse 28, so all those in the synagogue, which was in his hometown in Nazareth, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. So, you know, that's a miracle right there, because it wasn't his time to go. But what I'm bringing out now is Jesus was rejected from the beginning, from the very day that he announced his public ministry to the people. He is rejected. They even wanted to kill him from the beginning. That's Luke chapter 4. Then we go to Luke chapter 5. Let's go on over to Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, let's look at verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 says, 16 says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then it goes on talking, and I'm trying to find the passage at verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And then Jesus perceived their thoughts. And then it goes on, and he is rejected by the scribes and the Pharisees from the beginning, even before this. And also in Luke chapter 8, we don't have to turn to it because time is moving quickly. So just let me say it. In Luke chapter 8, well, he healed the demoniac who had legions of demons. And you remember, those people came out from the city and they wanted Jesus to get out of their city, get out of their town. And so he got into the boat and he returned. He was rejected. And now Luke chapter 9 lets us know that he was still yet to be rejected. Well, in Luke chapter 10 here, Jesus is preparing the disciples, preparing the 70 for his rejection. And so in Luke chapter 10, verse 10, it says, but whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say. Now, one key word in this passage is the word city. City is going to appear many times, city and cities, and that is important. So he tells in verse 10, whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. All right. And so they go to this house and even to a city, because there are cities, there will be cities, whole cities that reject the Christ. And so he says, when you go into the city, and if this city rejects you, you know, there was a, even in the houses, because the houses, the city is comprised of families and houses, and there are whole cities that will reject the Christ. Now, that does not mean there couldn't be one or a few individuals that received the Christ, but as a whole, he was rejected by cities. And so it says, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't try to convince them. Don't try to talk them in to please listen. Don't do that. Don't argue with them. Don't try to convince them. They rejected you. Wipe the dust off your feet. Shake off the dust and go on. And then he says, tells them what to say. Nevertheless, now when they wipe the dust off against them, the dust was like going to be a witness. The dust on the feet, on the shoe, on the foot, the dust was a witness that the messenger came to the city. I was here. The dust is going to proclaim that I was in your city. I brought the message and you rejected the message. I'm shaking off the dust, wiping off the dust against you. Now, I sent you the Message Bible. I think my copy right now, I think it fell on the floor. But I want you to read the Message Bible and see how they translate this passage. It's graphic. And so Jesus says, wipe that dust off your feet and tell them, let them know, yes, you reject me, but nevertheless, in spite of your rejection, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. So God, the kingdom came near. The messenger came, the word came, preparing the way for Jesus to come. But they rejected, those of that city rejected it. And then now these are really judgments that are being pronounced, judgments that are being pronounced upon rejectors of the word of God, rejectors of the messengers of God, rejectors of the word of God, rejectors of the Christ. And by the way, all humanity fits in one of these two crops. You either ultimately receive him or ultimately reject him. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. There's either receive or reject. If you receive, you will be blessed. If you reject the Christ, then it's damnation. All right. And so he lets them know in verse 11, tells those messengers to say, nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you, now it could be that the messengers were still going to say these same words to that city. Or it could be Jesus is just telling the messengers what's going to happen. So in verse 12 here, Jesus says, but I say to you that it will be more tolerable. It will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. All right. So Jesus now here comes different degrees of judgment. There will be different degrees of judgment. Now, we all know what happened to Sodom. Most of us know what happened to Sodom. Sodom was condemned. Sodom was burned. God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom because of their sin. Because of their sins, they were exceedingly wicked in many ways. And so we know what happened to Sodom. God burned up Sodom, and he burned up Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. But he lets them know, you think that was bad, that God burned up Sodom and Gomorrah. He tells them right here in verse 12, I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day. What day? You might ask, what day? It's the day of judgment, that day of final judgment, the day of judgment. It will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And we may ask, what do you mean it will be more tolerable? Well, think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, the angels came. God sent those angels to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can read that in Genesis, Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19. And the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they are mentioned in, those cities are mentioned in other chapters as well. But Genesis 18 and 19. And the God sent those messengers, those angels, and those angels, we could say they were rejected. They were not received. But it's not so much the angels were not received, and they were not received. And in that sense, because I've heard some cast Sodom and Gomorrah off for being condemned because of hospitality. Well, yeah, they weren't hospitable. That's true. But it was sin. It's always sin. It is sin that causes it all. And so Sodom is going to fare better in the day of judgment than those cities that the 70 went to. Why is that? It is because in Sodom's day, it was angels that came, that went. But now in Luke, it is Jesus himself. It is Jesus himself that is being rejected. It is the work of Christ that is going to be rejected and was rejected. The words of Jesus himself. It wasn't the angel that came. This is the Lord Jesus himself that they are rejected. Whereas in Sodom, it was just those angels. And still, they were burned up. But Sodom is going to fare better. Sodom is going to do better. That's what it means, more tolerable in the day of judgment than Sodom did, than for that city. And then Jesus begins to pronounce woes. And when Jesus says woe, can't nobody reverse it. Woe is a word of damnation. Woe is a word of judgment. Woe is a word of condemnation. And so Jesus now pronounces his woes. And once he says woe, it's woe. No one can reverse that. And these are also curses. So here in the next verse, verse 13, woe to you, Chorazin, and I may be pronouncing this wrong, but woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. There's a reason that these woes are pronounced. Jesus gives the reason right here. He says, woe to you, Chorazin. And if you look at your maps, when you have a chance to look at them, you'll see these are Galilean cities. Chorazin, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works, here's the reason that the woes are coming. For if the mighty works, all the miracles that Jesus had performed, all the people that had been healed, all that they had seen, all the people that had been delivered from spirits, all the times that Jesus did all these wonderful miracles. And it says here, if the mighty works which were done in you, the works done in Chorazin and Bethsaida, if those works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, and there those are other cities, regions that are condemned by the Lord. I'm trying to get my place. Both, it, Let me start back at 13. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. And there's that word repent. And I mentioned repent last week. It's repentance and faith. And there's a scripture in the book of Acts. It is the one command to all mankind. I don't have the exact scripture, but I'll put it on my invitation next week, where it says God commands all men everywhere to repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent. And so it says here in this verse, if Tyre and Sidon and even Sodom had seen and heard what Chorazin had seen and heard, what Bethsaida had seen and heard, and then in verse 15, we're going to see Capernaum. If they had seen and heard Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, if they had seen and heard what you've seen and heard, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. The next verse, but it will be more tolerable. They're going to fare better in judgment. It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, because we know about Capernaum. Capernaum was the headquarters of Jesus, where he performed most of his miracles and taught in their synagogues. And they saw all those miracles of the Lord. And verse 15 here says, and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven. They had seen the highest. They were exalted to heaven through the works, and there's more aspects to this. But they were exalted to heaven, seeing all those mighty works of Jesus. Exalted to heaven in the light that God had given to that city. They were exalted to heaven, but because of their rejection of Christ, it says they will be brought down to Hades. They will be brought down to hell. And the reason is because Jesus himself came. They saw Jesus. They heard him. They were witnesses to his mighty works and rejected him. Whereas Sodom, Tyre, and Sidon, they didn't have that measure of light that Capernaum had and Bethsaida had and Chorazin had. And so there are levels of damnation. Now, Sodom is bad. Don't think, you know, that was a horrible thing, being rained down fire and brimstone. But it's going to be worse for others, depending on the measure of light that has been received by a person, by a family, by a city, by a nation. By a nation, and then you can back it all up. Us in class today. Now we're receiving the word of God, whereas others have not received. Well, we're going to be held accountable. The more you know, the more you're held accountable. Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. And much had been given to Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida. And overall, Jesus was rejected. Now, I want to show you a scripture because I just want you to see it in James. Let's go to the book of James, because I'm teaching today, but I'm going to be held accountable. I'm going to be held accountable and more accountable than you. James chapter 3, because I'm teaching the word of God. And that's an awesome thing. It's a holy thing. It's a reverent thing, but you better make sure you've been called and sent to do it, because the measure of judgment will be greater. So James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing this, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So Sister Velma, being a teacher of the word, she will receive a stricter judgment. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to be judged. So don't y'all think, oh, I'm glad it's on Sister Velma. No, you have a judgment to go to too. But for those who handle the word of God, teachers, preachers, pastors, and people are listening. And that's why we have to be very careful how we handle, quote, the word of God. And so there are levels of judgment. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. I wanted you to see that in the book of James. Now, these cities, we have a few minutes, 6 minutes. These cities, Chorazin is only mentioned, and that's in Luke chapter 10, verse 13, is only mentioned one time in the Bible, right here. It's only mentioned one time in the Bible, but it is on your map. It is on your map that I sent you, or whatever map you're looking at. Jesus pronounced a woe to them, a curse upon them. Now, that does not mean there wasn't somebody in the city that was saved. There could be one somebody, but as a whole, woe. This is coming to me now. Sodom, let's think of Sodom for a minute. That was a city given to wickedness. You remember when Abraham was praying, and Abraham said, Abraham was praying to the Lord, and Abraham said, if you find 50 people in the city, 50 righteous, would you save the city? And God said, if I find 50, I'll save the city. Well, then Abraham was like, uh-oh, might not find 50. So let me say, well, if you find 45, will you save the city? And God said, if I find 45 in the whole city, I'll save the city. And then Abraham kept on until he came on down to 10. And he said, if you find 10, will you save the city? And God said, if I find 10, I'll save the city. Well, you know what? In the whole city, there were not even 10 righteous. And so the city was burned up. And so whole cities, whole nations can be condemned by God. But there can be one somebody or two somebody or a remnant in that city that is saved. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. Repenting meaning turning to God. They would have from sin. They would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And I would recommend that you read the book of Jonah. That's going to be your assignment for this week. Quote assignment. Read the book of Jonah. There is a city, the city of Nineveh, where the message came through Jonah. The message came, and that city repented. And for that time, the judgment was delayed. Ultimately, judgment came, but that was a city that did repent. Bethsaida, right here, where does it say Bethsaida? Right here in verse 13. Bethsaida, we've heard about Bethsaida. That's the home of Philip and Andrew and Peter. They were from Bethsaida, and that's in John chapter 1, verse 44. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Luke chapter 9, let's go right back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Luke 9, verse 10 says, and the apostles, when they had returned, they were returning from their mission. When they had returned, they told Jesus all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And then upon that, he's in this region, Bethsaida, belonging to the city. He's in Bethsaida. And the multitudes, they knew it. They followed him. And bottom line is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was in Bethsaida and that region, Bethsaida. And in the end, after all of that, Jesus was rejected. In our closing 2 minutes, let's go to John chapter 6. Now, there is much, much more that could be said, but next week, Lord willing, we're going to move on in Luke chapter 10. In our closing minute, let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Because John chapter 6 gives us the same miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 plus the women and the children. About 15,000 people experienced that miracle. And you would think, sure enough, they were going to follow Jesus all the way. And you find out they rejected Jesus. Even after that great miracle that they had seen, no wonder Jesus said, whoa. And so we're going to run out of time here. So John chapter 6, it's a long chapter, but it's worth you reading. But let's look at verse 60. Verse 60. Verse 60, well, the miracle is before that. But in verse 60, you're going to see here, John chapter 6. Therefore, verse 60, John 6, 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, and you all have heard us talk about Jesus. There were many disciples that he had, the 12 and many others. But right here in John 6, 60, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And let's skip down to verse 66. And verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more and walked with him no more. Division, subtraction. All that group of disciples that we had been seeing following Jesus, a lot of them left Jesus. So our time is up for today. Walk with Jesus. Let's walk with Jesus all the way, all the way, all the way. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you for what our ears have heard, for what our eyes have seen, for what our hearts have witnessed. And no, we were not there to see Jesus turn the water into wine, but we do believe it and we receive it and we have repented and we believe on you. We are by your spirit, Lord. We plan on, we're going to follow you, hold on to you all the way. No turning back. Keep us in your care, Lord Jesus. Keep us in your care, Father, until we meet again. We pray for comfort upon Sister Arlene. In the name of Jesus, be with her and her family and keep us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Velma.
We're out of time. I'm going to get it here real quick. Paris, Chicago, New York, New Orleans. They think of those cities. They're known for things. Well, we want to be ourselves as a person of righteousness. God bless you.
God bless you. The word is
there. Thank you. God bless you. Have a blessed week, everyone.
Thank you,
Sister Velma.
Bye. God bless
you. Thank you. God bless you. Jonah.
Jonah.
Okay. Miss Sadie, did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, good morning.
No.
She's online. She's online, Miss Velma.
Good morning, Sister Sadie Cole.
Good morning. How are you, teacher?
God bless you.
God bless you as well.
Everyone. Have a beautiful week, everyone.
You too.
Always remember Jesus.
Amen.
Always keep him on your mind.
Amen.
Everybody Amen. Stay safe.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
God bless.
Oh, praise
God. God bless you. God bless everyone.
Okay, Miss Velma. Take care.
Take care.
Bless you.
All right, Miss Sadie, we'll talk with you later. Enjoy your breakfast.
Yeah, to go get that cold breakfast now.
It'll be all right. You can heat it up in that microwave.
Okay.